When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. In the happy summer land of bliss, far beyond all that we know here and today. In the here and now, where there's suffering, toiling, pain. If you would join me in Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll look at verses 13 through 16 this morning. As the basis of our studies, we consider beyond the here and now. I just want to say good morning to everyone here, and it's good to see you all here. And I pray that this study is encouraging to each and every one of you today as we take into consideration the idea of what's beyond the here and now. Because as we're gathered here together today, there may be a many number of things that are going on within your mind or within your life right now. Maybe you're here today and you're feeling happy. Maybe you're feeling energized. Maybe this is the best day of the week. And I hope it is. Because we're here to worship God. We're here to glorify God. We're here to be reminded of why we're here. To be reminded that God loved us. That God created us. And He wants us to come back to Him someday. But as we're here today, you may be feeling something else. Maybe you're feeling angry. Maybe because someone has offended you. Maybe because someone in your life is causing turmoil for you. Maybe things are just not going your way at all. You may be here today feeling tired. You may have had an exhausting week. Maybe a late night last night or an early morning this morning. Maybe you're anticipating how busy you're going to be for the rest of this week. Maybe you're feeling anxious. Maybe a deadline is coming up that you need to be ready for. A major event is approaching in the not too distant future. And in the back of your mind, you're stressing out about it. Maybe you're here this morning feeling depressed. Maybe you've had a bad day recently or a bad week. Maybe you're in the midst of overcoming some sort of trauma that has afflicted you in the past. Maybe your hope is diminishing because of the thoughts that are in your mind. Whatever you may be feeling today, I invite you to join me for a few minutes in forgetting about that for a minute and looking beyond that. All of what we're dealing with in the here and now is going to be worth it once we attain what is beyond this. Once that day comes, or as we sang in the song earlier, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. We're all brought into that happy summer land of bliss, far beyond what we know in the here and now. And I know it's hard to take a few minutes to forget everything that's going on in your life, because our lives are filled to the brim with what feels like too much, especially the things that we don't like to deal with or don't want to deal with. So let's look beyond all that today. Let's look beyond the here and now together and be reminded of what is to come. Because we all need to be reminded of what's to come. I'm sure as many of us here know exactly what's to come. And I'm sure we are here today because we want to get that. Because we want to be there on that day. We want to be welcomed into heaven by Jesus on that day. And we're encouraged in Scripture to be like those of old, whose faith provoked them to look beyond the here and now, look beyond their here and now, and look afar off. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, the Hebrew writer shows us how those of old saw the future afar off. The Scripture says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." So let's spend the next few minutes breaking down this verse and finding encouragement within this passage for us to look beyond the here and now and look at what's to come. The thought begins by showing us how by faith those of old saw afar off the blessings of God to come. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is a special chapter that shows off the faith of those of old, what they were able to accomplish because of their faith. And this thought is seen in that context. These all died in faith, referring to the aforementioned Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah. They all had great faith when they were alive. And their faith is put on display in their stories in Genesis, as well as their mentions here in this chapter. However, these verses add to it by showing how they died in faith. Their faith was with them until the very end. Furthermore, the Hebrew writer tells us, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. What's intriguing about that? These characters, especially Abraham, they all died before the promises were fulfilled for them. As we all know, Abraham in particular was given 3 promises from God, none of which were fulfilled in his lifetime, but all were fulfilled. Abraham died in faith, knowing that even if they weren't fulfilled in my lifetime, God follows through with his promises. Period. God promised Noah. He promised Noah never to destroy the earth again with water. We haven't seen any worldwide floods since then, have we? He's kept true to his promises. And these promises he gave to men, they play into us recognizing that God fulfills his promises. That there is a promise of God, that there is a home for us. That's the greatest promise of all. And he's going to keep to that promise. And so these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but seeing them afar off. All of them had a greater promise that was given to them, and they were all able to see that afar off and fulfilled for them. Their faith is shown in their patience, awaiting the great promise to be fulfilled, looking beyond the here and now, and even though they died in faith, they were still brought to that promise. This shows us what we ought to do. Not be so caught up in the here and now, but continuously looking forward, looking beyond the here and now to find comfort in the fulfillment of God's promise to us. Put a marker in Hebrews and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. Paul offers a thought here. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In the here and now, we are surrounded by the temporary. We are called by Scripture. We're called by God to look beyond the here and now, into what we cannot yet see. Look by faith into what is to come, that being the promise of heaven. A true home for us, an eternal home for us. As this verse points out, each day we get older, we get weaker, more tired, closer to death generally, but this should not be discouraging, but should serve to show us that beyond this, beyond the weakness, there lies a promise for us that will be fulfilled at the appropriate time. All things we endure here and now will seem as nothing once that time finally comes. So we're told not to lose heart. Must be strong and continuously know that it's coming, because we know for certain that God fulfills his promises. And that fact should offer us assurance and allow us to embrace what is to come. Just as the passage says, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them. The word assured here means persuaded, convinced, to rely on, to believe in, to trust in, to have confidence in. Those that looked at the promise that was afar off were persuaded of it. They were convinced of it, that there was something greater that awaited them. And they trusted in God's promises and as such embraced them. Embrace means to salute or to welcome, to draw to oneself, because they were persuaded of what they saw afar off by faith. They were able to welcome it with open arms, even though they hadn't come yet, even though the time had yet to be fulfilled in their time, in their life. They were able to accept the fact that they were going to receive the promise of God at the appropriate time and held on to that hope for eternal life. They walked the days of their lives in faith, looking to eternity, not the here and now, to eternity. Is this how we are? Are we fully assured of these promises? Have we embraced them? Have we welcomed them, even though they are far off? Because as we'll come to see, the same promise that they saw being fulfilled afar off is now what we look to. Consider what the Hebrew writer had said in the previous chapter, in chapter 10, in verses 35 through 39, the precursor to this chapter, where he says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. The assurance or the confidence that we have with God translates into having endurance for this life. This life gets tiresome. This life takes a toll. And we want to give up sometimes. But the Hebrew writer says, you have need of endurance. You can make it through this life, looking by faith to what is to come, to what is beyond this life, what is beyond what you know in your life. Looking forward to the promise that is going to be fulfilled. Not being discouraged to the point that we want to turn back on that promise, but enduring this life, filled with faith and confidence, trusting in God. Because God is worthy of your faith and your confidence. He is worthy of you putting your trust in Him. This world is not. There are no guarantees with this world, and our lives here are temporary. We are but strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Just as the scripture says, having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Because of the aforementioned confidence in the promises of God, this gave those of old the ability to confess that this world was not their home. The fact of the matter is, this world is a temporary place. And it's for us to temporarily be. But what is eternal is what's afar off. The here and now is temporary, but what is beyond this is forever and ever without end. Which one would you want to call your home? The temporary or the eternal? Well, those of old chose what was eternal, and therefore they confess that they were nothing but pilgrims here. This world is not my home. I do not have an eternal residence down here. This world will not exist eternally for me to want to seek eternal residence down here. Even David, King David, had once said in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 15. After having prepared materials for the building of the temple, he was offering blessings to God, glorifying God. And he's one of the things he says is, "For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all of our fathers. Our days are on earth are as a shadow and without hope." These words that David says, calling us aliens and pilgrims, we're sojourners here. We are temporary residents here. This world is not our home, but instead, it is a destination we are all visiting for a time. Some may want to call this place home. But again, what would you prefer? The temporary or the eternal? David says, our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. There is no hope for this planet to ever truly be home. We're not meant for this planet. Our life here is temporary. Our place here is temporary. God put us on this earth for a set amount of time, not for us to stay here temporarily. Not for us to stay here eternally. We're here to stay temporarily. But our place is with Him. He wants us all to be drawn to Him. So instead of calling this place home, we're seeking home. We're seeking a homeland. We're seeking somewhere that we can call home. Just as verse 14 of our passage says, "For those who say such things, who say that they're pilgrims and sojourners on this earth, declare plainly that they are seeking a homeland." They seek a homeland. We're so used to calling our place of residence our home. What are you doing after work? I'm going to spend the night at home. Have a night in at home. We're used to that. But again, we're pilgrims and sojourners here. So can we really call this place our home? Maybe we do. Maybe it's a scary thing to think that of everything we're so used to not being our home. Maybe it's scary to think that one day I'm going to have to leave it all behind. That's okay. It's only natural. But let us be reminded that we're seeking after a new homeland. Again, this is all temporary. We're seeking after the eternal homeland. We're seeking after something greater beyond this life, greater than everything that we know down here. And the Hebrew writer would go on to say in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 14, as he's concluding his letter to the Hebrews, he says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Here, the cities that we know will change from time to time. Maybe fade out in time because people move, businesses move, new highways and subdivisions are built. People and places come and go, and eventually, at the end of time, all of it is going to go. But that's okay. Why? Because we are not seeking a place in the temporary cities. We're looking forward to the city that is to come. Speaking, of course, of heaven. Knowing that at the appropriate time, Jesus will come and call us all to Him so that we can be brought into the judgment and then be brought into the eternal home that is awaiting us. And we look forward to this home. We look beyond the here and now. But sometimes we get too caught up with looking in the here and now. We get too caught up looking at life in the here and now. And maybe that may cause us an opportunity to return from our journey to eternity and start looking at the temporary, start living in the temporary, start being worldly instead of being godly. The Hebrew writer admits that even those of old could have had opportunity to return where they came from. He says in verse 15, "And truly, if they called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return." The verses mention Abraham and Sarah in particular, who were called out of their homeland, called to dwell in tents in a land that they would not own, but would one day be given to their descendants. The Hebrew writer says that if they really thought about it, if they were homesick enough, if they thought about their family there and the memories they made there, that would have brought to mind the idea of returning. Returning from pursuing the promises of God. Return to a life away from God. Return to what they once knew, what they once grew up with. It's natural to think about the place you call home here. To think about the place where our family is as home. To think about the place we grew up as home. But what is truly home for us is what lies beyond this life, beyond the here and now. And we cannot be distracted by the things of this world and think that this world is our home. This calls to mind a teaching of Jesus in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, where he says, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." What happens when we look back? We will look to find a reason to return to our old life, to return to what life was like before God entered our life, to return to what we know in the temporary, to forget what lies ahead, to forget the journey we've come so far with God. If we have opportunity to return, we should not take it. We have come this far, brethren, in our journey to eternity. We should pursue it continuously. Not call to mind what our life was like before pursuing God, before pursuing eternity. Not call to mind some place down here that we call home, distracting us from what lies beyond, that being our eternal home. The scripture reveals to us what our home is, and we've talked about it. We've alluded to it, and we know it. It's a better home, a heavenly country, as is described in the passage. Verse 16, it says, "Now they desire a better," that is a heavenly country. They did not look back to where they came from. They did not look back to what they once called home. They did not look to where they went and stayed and began to call that home. No, they looked afar off, beyond all of that, to a better and heavenly country. What makes this heavenly country better? There are several things we know about this place, several things we don't know about this place. But what we do know, we will be with the Lord. That's one thing. We get to be with our Creator and our Savior. We will get to be with one another. Those of us who are side by side here and now in this building, we will get to be reunited with those that have gone before us. And the greatest part, we will get to be there forever. Because we will never have to depart from God. We will never have to depart from our loved ones, but be together forever in that land beyond. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, Paul shows us an attitude that we should all have. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desired to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." In the here and now, our tent, our bodies are withering, are fading, closer and closer each day to when I get to go home, to when we get to go home. And we get to embrace something spectacular. Our mortality is swallowed up by immortality. God offers eternal rest for us. You may be tired today. You may be going through something today. But we recognize God offers an eternity. In a place where all that you know in the here and now will not be. All the pain and the suffering and the loss, gone. All the weakness, the anxiousness, the depression, gone. Swallowed up in an immortal life where we get to be with God forever, where we get to be with each other forever. That is what we should be looking forward to. That is what we should be wanting in the here and now, looking to what's beyond. Which is why the Hebrew writer points to the Lord our God as an unashamed God. In verse 16, it says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. When God sees us pursuing Him, when He sees us looking beyond the here and now, looking afar off, looking to when we get to be with Him in eternity, when He sees us trying to live our lives well-pleasing to Him so that we can embrace the coming eternal day, we see that He is not ashamed of us. Far from it, in fact. It is shown many times in Scripture how proud God is when we follow after Him and do His will. It shows us that He will welcome us into heaven someday if we are doing what we should be doing down here. If we are trusting in His promises. If we are continuously in obedience toward Him in all that we say and do. In Revelation 21 and verse 3, John points to that coming day of the Lord. That coming day when New Jerusalem shall be standing forever. And one of the things he says, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. God wants us all to come to Him. God says His place is with us. Our place is with Him. It is His will that as many of us that are on this earth who believe and obey Him will be brought to Him in that last day. And He's not ashamed of those who seek after Him, who want to be with Him, because it is these who do His will, who will live lives worthy of Him, and who will be welcomed into the eternal rest that He has prepared for us in the last day. Because that's what it's all about. He has a place prepared for us. A place that we can truly call our home. In verse 16, the thought is concluded by saying, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has a city prepared for them. That city that we're searching for, that eternal city, the one true and eternal home, that is a place that has been prepared for us by God. Again, we alluded to this earlier. God never intended for mankind to remain on this earth forever. But for as many people who come to Him in faith and in obedience to be with Him forever. Think about that. If we were meant to stay on this earth forever, and we cannot truly be with the Lord. Certainly not in the way that He wants us to be with Him. Yes, we're able to call upon Him in the here and now. Yes, He is ever present in our lives. But our souls are down here, and He is up there. But He calls us to come to that city up there, to come home to Him, for our souls to be with Him forever and ever. And He has a place prepared for us to be able to do just that. He wants us to be close to Him. He wants us to be in heaven with Him, alongside Him in eternity, So he has a place prepared for us, and Jesus has a place prepared for us. He told the disciples in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Very encouraging words. Starting with, let not your heart be troubled. Our heart is troubled in the here and now. There's so much we're dealing with. But Jesus calls us, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. There it is, brethren. In the Father's house are many mansions. Mansions with your names on it, waiting for you on that day that Jesus gets to come back, bring us all to Him, and welcome us to those mansions, to our home that we are meant to be, to the place where we belong, that being with God. He is coming back for us. To bring us to a home that is not temporary, but eternal. We have to endure this life first. We're stuck in the temporary. We're stuck in the here and now. And have to endure the here and now before that amazing day of the Lord comes. But that's okay. We have something to look forward to. We have a hope that goes beyond the here and now. We are looking beyond the here and now to that day. Looking to when we get to be there. That hope keeps us going, brethren. That hope and that faith keeps us going. You may have heard the saying, if God brought you to it, He will bring you through it. We are all here and now because God's bringing us through it. You may experience difficulties in your life. You may experience heartache in your life. That's all the here and now. That's all the temporary. Eternity is waiting on the other side of this. Look beyond the here and now, brethren. Look to what is ahead of us. When life is taking its toll, when the world tries to drag you down, when it seems like everything is against you, look beyond it. Remember where you came from, that being God. And to Him is where you're going again. So long as you stay on the straight and narrow, so look beyond this world. Look to Him and the place that He has prepared for you. And if you're here and now, this morning, and are not yet a Christian, He invites you to the here and now as well, to the eternal rest that is coming, I mean. He invites you to look beyond the here and now and see that this place He's prepared for us, He's also prepared for you as well. So we want to encourage you today to become a Christian, to change your life for God. If you've heard the word today or in the past and have come to believe on it, we encourage you to act upon it, to repent of your sins, to confess the name of Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized. Your sins will be washed away from you, and you will be able to rise from those waters of baptism, walking a new life before God, a life well-pleasing to God, a life where God, at the end of your life, will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the eternal rest." That is what He wants for you. And if you're here this morning and already are a Christian, but have allowed sin into your life, we want you to make that right today as well. Repent of those sins. Confess them if need be. Confess them to God in prayer, and He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. If you feel the need to confess before your brethren, we are here for you. We will meet you with love. We will pray with you. We'll pray for you. And you will be forgiven those things. If you're subject to the invitation or need prayers of this congregation for help in any way at all, please come as we stand and we sing.